About animals of Vrindavan.
Animals of Vrindavan.
Yeah, not animals.
Two-legged or four-legged?
Yeah, yeah. And one, someone says that they're going after, that they're going to Vaikuntha, someone says to Golok, they're back to Golok Vrindavan. Someone says no, they appear like inhuman, they take human births again. I don't
know. Yeah. What happens when you die in Vrindavan? That's the basic question. Everybody has different ideas. Because the whole idea, because oftentimes Shastras, like the Puranas, they say, and we can read something also from there. This doesn't take long. They mention how dying in the holy place, transcendental dham, one gets liberation. This is mukti. Now, there's no... So now... The next question is, what is the meaning of mukti? Mukti has, the word mukti in Shastra is used in many, many different ways. And it's all correct. So therefore, since one word has many applications and many meanings, it becomes somewhat confusing to pinpoint it, to hammer it down. Okay, because sometimes mukti means go to Vaikuntha in the spiritual world. Sometimes mukti means go to Svetadvipa, which is Vaikuntha, in the material world. In this material planet, there's a place called Svetadvipa where Shiradakshaya Vishnu lives. He's within this material jagat. He's not beyond the coverings of the universe. He's here within this material universe. And you see stories about Ekadasi Mahatmyam and doing different punya and piety. If you observe this Ekadasi, or if you do this punya or piety, or this so many yagyas or sacrifices, you will get mukti and go to Vaikuntha. You will get mukti and go to Vaikuntha for 60,000 years. That's what it says. So then the question is, how is it you go to mukti, you get mukti, but it's a time limit. So this mukti refers to mukti in the material planet, which has some time limit. The Vaikuntha, the Svetadvipa, which is the Vaikuntha planet in the material world. You follow? So mukti can also mean, it says that so-and-so was a kshatriya and he fought so valiantly on behalf of the demigods, in his next life he became a Brahmin. So that's called Varna Mukti. Your Varna, there's four Varnas, Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmin. So you may be a Vaishya, the next life, or a Kshatriya, the next life you become a Brahmin. That's a liberation. It's called Varna Mukti. You go up. Generally, in the Vedic paradigm, when they talk about the Varnashram Dharma system, where people worship Vishnu, everyone worships Vishnu, supposed to, and they do different pujas and yamas and vidhi nisheda, rules and regulations, and generally it's told if someone's a very good Shudra, in the Varnashram system, following, the next life he becomes Vaishya. If someone's a very good Vaishya, next life he becomes Kshatriya. If someone's a very good Kshatriya, next life he becomes Brahmin. If he's a very good Brahmin, he becomes, say, a Vanachari Brahmin. If he's a very good Vanachari, next he becomes a Sannyasi Brahmin. Just like Madhva Sampradaya, only if someone is a Brahmin by birth can he take Sannyas. No one but a Brahmin. So then he's a Sannyas for so many lifetimes, then maybe he gets liberation. And what kind of liberation? So liberation has many, many vast meanings. So that's why you said one person says the animals get mukti means they become human beings in the next life. Because ordinarily a dog dies, a dog, a cat, pig, what are the animals? The main animals here are dogs, pigs, monkeys. So then they die anywhere else. They may have to, a monkey somewhere living somewhere else may have to die and be 10 births is 9 more births is a monkey, and 3 more births is a cow, and 2 more as an adivasi, and many, many things. So the one valid explanation is all the animals that are born here, when they die, they get human form in Vrindavan. They're Brijvasis. Baniyas, Sudras, whatever. Probably lower castes, because they're animal-like, so they become Sudra-like. But they're Brijvasi Sudras, because they're living in this land. And eating prasadam all the time, and hearing kirtan, everything. And doing prikma all the time. Things are going around Radhika and Govardhan. So then they get promoted. So then they next life they become human beings of any varna. and maybe become pure devotees and get liberated. So they got liberated from pig body to human body, and yes, they got liberated from human body to the spiritual world. So the statement holds true that they got liberated, and what way and how many times they got liberated to get the final liberation. There's Varna Mukti, then Jagat, planetary Mukti. Liberation means, just like Prabhupada wrote in one letter, he said, most of my devotees have done so much piety, the next life they'll be born on Chandraloka. They'll live there for 10,000 years and come back to the earth. Enjoy fantastically on Chandraloka. It's quite a heavenly place. It's very close to the earth planet. Chandra, the moon, is the closest planet to the earth. It's the closest planet, and then most influential on the earth because it was so close. That's why the whole Indian concept of astrology is based on lunar. And the West is based on the sun, but the sun is so far away, it doesn't have that much influence. The moon is powerful, it's close. So this is the unlimited power of Vrindavan. You know, everyone that dies here, they go to the spiritual world. Okay. We can say they go to Vaikuntha, but do they go to Vaikuntha in the material world and again come back to here until they get a human body to go to the real Vaikuntha? That can be possible. That's a valid answer. Yes, every animal that dies here goes to Vaikuntha and Shweta Dweep, and they stay for so many thousand years and become a human being again in Vrindavan, and again they do bhajan, and then they go to Paramparam, you know, Paraparam, Paramparam, Vaikuntha, Vishnuloka, because they worship. Or they go to Ayodhya, so many Brijvasis, they worship Ram. Too much they worship Ram. So they go to Ayodhya, which is Nitya, eternal liberation, you can say, forever. Or they go to Vaikuntha with Vishnu. The Aishwarya mood, or on reverence type mood. Or they go to Goloka Vrindavan. That's the ultimate, highest, Premdam Mukti. But I've seen plenty of these verses, and I discussed these points, and this is what I can share with you, what I've heard. It's not worth arguing. You can't argue about it because there's so many answers to the same question. So one person says this, he's right, and he's also right. I mean, there's now you look at tradition, look at Gaura Lila, try to find some teaching from Gaura Lila. From Gaura Lila, Shivananda Sen adopted a dog, he went to Puri. And then he was, you know, Lord Chaitanya fed him a Maha Maha Prasad, or whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called. God eats after what God eats. When God eats what God eats, what's it called? You offer bhoga to God, then he eats it. And afterwards it's called Maha Prasadam, right? Yes? He doesn't know English, I don't know. Anyway, it's called Maha Prasadam. So now if you offer that Maha Prasadam to God, then what's it called?
Maha.
Well, that's what you call when you offer to the guru, Maha Maha Prasad. So I guess guru is like Sakshat Hari, so it's Maha 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 Prasad. So first the bhoga is offered to Lord Chaitanya, then it goes to Bimala Devi, his consort. And then it goes to to Lord Chaitanya. So now he's eating it, then he's throwing it to the dog, and the dog is getting it. Coconut pulp. And the dog is jumping and catching. Very talented dog. You know, some dogs they can catch in their mouth. You throw up roti, and they're like really proud. Other dogs, you throw it and it bounces on their nose. And they can't even catch it even if it falls on their nose. I've seen some dogs, they're like sporty dogs, you know. You throw a piece of roti, they go, chomp. You ever see? But some dogs you throw it and they go, they can't see you. Uncoordinated. So this dog, Lord Chaitanya is throwing him this pulp. And then no one saw him. Then it says in the CC, went back to Godhead. And what about Chaitanya Mangal? Chaitanya Mangal is another dog story. So this is Puri's holy dham. The dog died in holy dham and he got liberated. Because he got so much prasad. So all dogs get so much prasad. And then another dog was in Navadvip, and he died in the dham, he got liberated. So he was a baby, he was a puppy, and Lord Chaitanya was playing with him and adopted him for a short time. Then his mother caught him playing with his dirty dog, He said, Nimai, what are you doing? Oh, this puppy's too cute. I like him, you know. Okay, you now I tie him up on the, here, and you go take a bath in Ganga, get purified. And then you have your puppy back. So Granga went to take bath. And Mother Sachi untied the dog and took a stick. Tap, chow, ow, ow, ow. And that puppy ran away. And Granga came back and said, oh, Mommy, where's my puppy? Oh, I don't know. I don't know what happened. He got loose. He must have run away. Oh, my puppy. And Garunga's crying like anything. Oh, I love my puppy. I lost my puppy. So no one saw the dog. Then one day the dog was in the marketplace in Navadvip. In the hut. Namhat. He was in the hut. Hut. Means the marketplace. Bazaar. And he was on his back legs. And he's going, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda. So everyone gathered around, like, you know, in Bengal, there's some magic trick or something. Everyone gathers around a big circle, rickshaw wallah, some magic show or whatever. So everyone's gathered around. Check it out, the dog is, how is it going like this? Oh, that was the puppy that Gauranga was playing with. Acha. Oh, Nimai is so powerful. Dog was on his back legs, going, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda. Then they saw this Hamsa Vahan, this flower airplane, or Pushpa Vahan, this flower airplane came with all Vaikuntha Vasis. And then they put down on a plank, you know, to come on this swan carrier, flower airplane swan, Hamsa Vahan. So then Vaikuntha Vasis, they pointed to the dog and said, come. So then he walked, the dog started walking towards the flower airplane. And then as soon as he touched the flower, just about to touch it with his paw, his body turned into forearm form. He got a Siddha Sarup as Vaikuntha Vasi. So this is a proof that dog dies in the holy dham, he gets liberated. And to Vaikuntha. I won't say that anybody that dies here, Brijvasis, I can't say, that's another group. But anyone dies here doesn't just go to Goloka Vrindavan. They may get liberated, but unless you're following, you know, Gopi Bhav and you're in Prema and you had Darshan of Krishna, you're not going to Goloka Vrindavan. Yeah, Rupa Goswami says Bhav is very, very rare. But so many people are, you know, he was writing that 500 years ago in Vrindavan in Sevakunj. He's saying Bhav is Sudurlabha. But that's not even enough, because you have to be a prema to go to Goloka. So many people are dying all around him, and they didn't go to Goloka. They didn't even have Bhav. Aren't there good devotees to become humans again, meet Guru again, take out the process of bhakti sadhana again? Or they go to Vaikuntha, you know, because they get liberated, so... If they're already Brahmins, you know, they're in the highest caste in Vrindavan, and they get liberated. So they go to Vaikuntha, but they had some tin, because they didn't have prems, that means they had some material desires. So then they go to Vaikuntha, and they can enjoy their spiritual enjoyment, or and come back. It's very difficult to answer the question. The main point is that the holy dham has so much power. Otherwise someone will say, well, what's the difference? I die in Moscow or die wherever I die. I go wherever I go according to what I've acquired, what my state of consciousness is. But that's not the same. Whatever, because anywhere else you die, that you're just, you don't have the power of the holy dham behind you. So it says if you die in these mukti dwaras, there's seven cities of mukti, Ayodhya and Dwarka, Kanchi and Kashi and Haridwar and Mathura. Another one, can't remember. Seven. And these are called Mukti Dwara or Muktipura, liberation cities. So if you die in any of those, you get liberated. Basically, it's a good thing. So just dying there, and then you get liberated just by dying there. What to speak if you're doing sadhana bhakti there? It's very difficult to specifically answer that question. But generally, at least our shastras tell us, unless one is following the footsteps of the gopis. And the Shrutacharis and Rishis, they were great sages. They saw the Municharis and Dandakaranya, they had darshan of Ramchandra. And the Shrutacharis, the personified Vedas, they had darshan of Vishnu every day. Every day they would wake up Vishnu, stand on the shore of the ocean of milk, and recite the Purusha Shukta. The Purusha Shukta, there are prayers in the Rig Veda, Purusha Shukta. And Vishnu is lying there, and he wakes up every day with music, with the sound of music, with the Shrutis, the personified Vedas. They're standing there on the shore, on the ocean, they're on the shore, and there's a vast ocean. They're on the beach. And Vishnu is lying in the middle there on Anathashesh with Lakshmi on his feet. He's sleeping. So they're, Om Tad Vishnu, Padamam Padam, and they're just chanting all these shlokas, and they're coming across the ocean. He's hearing, oh, it's. So the Shrutacharis, they heard from some Narada Muni or someone, they heard about the gopis and became totally attracted. And then they started doing bhajan for thousand years. And then they got bodies, as they became gopis, they got gopi bodies from the Shrutis. So it takes a long time. Not just you die in Vrindavan and you become a gopi. But if you just read it, but the other idea is that the holy dhamma gives special blessings and special power to elevate one and upgrade one's karma and improve one. How that liberation unfolds, that's not very black and white. It's up to Krishna what he wants to do. That's why thousands and millions of people, old people, come from all around India to die in Vrindavan. As they're banking, they have faith in that Shastric statement. They believe it. Because it's not told about anywhere else. You die in Delhi, you get liberated. So they accept the Shastras. The Shastras are describing the incredible, phenomenal, inconceivable power of this place. Rupa Goswami has a book called Mathura Mahatmyam. And there he says if one is a murderer or this or that, he dies in Vrindavan, he gets liberated. So that, what does that mean? That means if he was outside somewhere and he murdered, he would have to go to Yamaraj, and he would have to, you know, be murdered himself so many times and take birth and be murdered and all that pain and torture and all those things. That would be his karma fall, because he's a murderer. But if he's a murderer and lives in Vrindavan and murders other Vrijvasis or whatever, I don't know, Yatris or whatever, I don't know, then that karma fall is all eliminated. That's the power of the Dham. The Dham purifies him and saves him from Yamaraj and all these things. That's what he says. I'll read it to you. He says, even a murderer does. This is Rupa Goswami's Mathura Mahatmyam, verse 87. Tirte chaiva grihe vapi chattvare pati chaiva hi yatra tatra mrita devi muktim yanti nachanyata. If a person gives up their body anywhere in Mathura, in his house, on the water, on the land, on the road, or in the courtyard, they will certainly attain liberation. So, okay, boss. Thank you. Very good. And then 92, 95. Verse 92. What to speak of human beings getting liberation? Even insects, worms, flies, or trees that die in Vrindavan will attain the Paramgati, supreme destination. It says Paramgatim, so maybe to be a, you know, the district magistrate is the Paramgatim if you're a worm right now. But generally, Paramgatim means Vaikuntha, spiritual world. Now, text 95, if a human being dies in a drain, you know, on the side of the road, a little drain, inside a building, if he dies in a crematorium, that means he's getting burned up. If he dies in the air or on a raised platform or a high platform, he will certainly attain liberation. In other words, no matter where or how you die, then there's a whole bunch of more verses, 102. Thank you. A self-controlled person, yatram karoti krishnasya shadayaya samahita sarva paper vinirmukto vishnulokam sagachati. A self-controlled person who faithfully goes to Mathura, Vrindavan, with the desire to have darshan of Krishna, he becomes free from all sins and goes to the Vishnuloka, attains Vishnuloka. Text 102. Striyo mlechas mlechash cha shudras shudrash cha pashava pakshino mrigaha maturayam mrita ye cha Vishnulokam vrajantite. Women, mleches, that's us, shudras, animals, birds, deer, and others who leave their bodies in Mathura go to Vishnuloka. So the basic idea is you go to Vishnuloka, that's liberation. But Vishnuloka can be the Vishnuloka in the material world, or probably it means, I would assume it means Vishnuloka in the spiritual world. But as Krishna's Kaviraj says, unless one is following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan, Gopi Anugata, he cannot go to Goloka Vrindavan and serve Radha and Krishna. He has to be following the gopis or some the Brijvasis. If a person who is dumb, blind, deaf, has done no austerities, has no self-control, but he dies in Mathura, he will certainly go to Vishnuloka. Persons who are bitten by snakes, killed by animals, burnt by fire, drowned in the water, as well as those who commit suicide by strangling to death or by drinking poison, they will also go to Vishnuloka. Now, if you commit suicide outside, you'll become a ghost. But here you go to Vishnuloka. I have one godbrother named Ruchidas. He knew about this, and he wasn't too happy, apparently. So one day he went down to the railroad tracks. There's a small train that runs from Mathura to Vrindavan. It's called Radharani Express. And in those days, up until, I think, 1995 or so, the train was an old-fashioned coal train. The big black engine, steam engine, and the wheels go, you know, the wheels go around like this kind of thing. You know, steam, it's called steam engine. Now it's all electric. So and big black smoke, black smoke goes flying. Every time they pull the thing, a big smoke. But that beautiful thing. So he went down there and he laid on the tracks, and that Radharani Express went over him, and he finished. He had the idea, I'll get liberated this way. But not recommended. If a person takes shelter in Mathura, even if he's in the form of an ant or a fly, and he dies there, he will attain a four-handed form and go to Vishnuloka. So the dogs in Vrindavan are special. It says in Padma Purana, Skanda Purana, and the Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmyam, and this applies to all the holy dhams, Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, Navadvipa Dham, Vrindavan Dham. It says there in Skanda Purana that the devatas, you know, the Swarga Devis and all the higher celestial beings, they see the Dham Vasis, the residents of Jagannath Puri, they all have four arms, even the donkeys, the gadas. They have Chaturbhuj Narayan forms, forearm Vishnu forms. All the fishermen, big black fishermen and lifeguards in Puri and everybody there. So here, even an ant or a fly gets a Chaturbhuj form. So that's quite a lot of liberation. And how is it possible? Because that's the inconceivable, unbelievable, unlimited power of the Dham.
But from Vishnuloka, they can elevate it to Goloka?
It's the next question.
Yeah, why not? Somehow they take up bhakti there, Braj bhakti. Well, of course, look at the Shruticharis. Shruticharis are either living in Brahmaloka, Srutacharyas live with Brahma and they go to the shore of the ocean. I'm not sure exactly where they live, because it says every day when he wakes up. So the Srutacharyas who wake up, the personified Vedas are called Srutachari, who wake up Lord Vishnu every day. Either they're living on Vishnu Loka with him, or they're living in Brahma Loka and speaking by Isapu, I would say live on Vishnu Loka. That's their service, just like in Nandagram and Niti Lila, Govinda Lila Amrita. When Nanda Maharaj wakes up, he has all these Brahmins called panegyrists and reciters. That they, in the morning, they recite shlokas to glorify Nanda Maharaj and his grandfather Parjanya and his whole dynasty. So they're hired, they're paid by the king pays, and they play Shanai music, you know, at sunrise. And then they recite all these glories of the dynasty. So similarly, Vishnu has a whole fleet of singers. So they play Veena, and they wake up. You know, you have your radio clock, you know, when your clock goes off and the music comes on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They have clocks like that, no? Or your phone or whatever. Wake up with Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna. Or sometimes people put their guru's voice, hey, get up, don't waste time. Or something, I've heard things like this. I used to listen to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Standard. So this is a lot of verses about this glory. This is the wonderful glories of Brajadam. But it's not so easy. Many people live here for 50, 60 years, and they get sick and they go to Agra and die. They go to Delhi and die. They're born here in Vrindavan. So it's really special kripa. The dog stays here and bites everybody and barks and makes a big noise and eats all garbage and everything. And he gets liberated. And a Vrijabhasi human being who's born here and goes to Agra, he doesn't get liberated. Well, I mean, he dies in Agra because it's not Vrindavan. Unless, you know, if he's remembering Krishna, then you go to Krishna, obviously. So potentially the dog in Vrindavan can be much more fortunate than a man if he just sticks to the Vrindavan. If somebody, the dog catcher catches him and takes him to Delhi, that's bad news. Anyone who gives up their body in Mathura Mandal will attain liberation. Well, that's why Prabhupada said it at the end of his time here. He said that, you know, whatever happens, don't take me to the hospital. Let me die peacefully in Vrindavan. I don't want to die in some hospital with tubes in my nose. And I've seen so many godbrothers with one tube in their nose for breathing and one tube in their mouth for breathing and one tube in their nose for putting food into their stomach because they're in coma. I don't want to die. I don't want to leave my body like that. Let me die nobly. And so Prabhupada, his wish was fulfilled. If one dies in Mathura Mandala, he attains Hariparam, the Lord, the association of Hari and Vaikuntha. Jai Ho, Sri Vrindavan Dham. 334. Mathura Vasino Loka Sarve Te Mukti Bhajanaha Api Kita Patango Va Tiryag Yoni Gatopi Va. Whether the residents of Mathura Vasis are insects, worms, birds, or any other creature, they attain liberation. This is something like I was saying the other day. Even though the Mathura Vasis, Vrijabhasis, may be grihastas or householders, and they may not control their senses, you should know that they're all demigods in human forms.
Means they're addicted from their for sanctification.
Excuse me?
Means they addicted from that life, and they addicted to sanctification, and they continue here. It's meaning?
Could be like that. I think it's just glorifying them that they're special. Next verse says that devas see the Maturavasis as having four arms. So that's also here. It's in the Skanda Puran also. It's also here. The Siddhas, Bhutas, Gana, Sarve, Devi, Gana, Bhuvi. All the Siddhas, Bhutas, that's in Ghost. Siddha, the higher and lower beings, and all the devas. In other words, all everyone. The higher celestial beings, Siddhas, the lower subterranean, Bhutas, Pratas, and the devas, Devatas, Indra, Chandra, Surya, they all see the Maturavasis as having four arms, which means Narayan forms. Those who live in Mathura all have the same features of Vishnu, but due to ignorance, people cannot recognize them. Those who have divine eyes see them as having the same form as Vishnu. Says in Skanda Puran, those who even in their minds envy the inhabitants of Mathura, they will live in hell forever. The piety or punya or sukriti of those who help or do a little favor for the Brijbasis is never exhausted. Even if the residents of Vrindavan are born as dog eaters, they're still pure. They're superior to Brahmins born in other places. Really, this is a lot of glorification. The inhabitants of Mathura are respected even by the demigods. They all possess four arms. Those who find faults with the Brijbasis cannot see their own thousands of faults that will cause their repeated births and deaths. It's a good book, huh? 385. Last verse here about this. Krishna replied here. Narada Muni asked a question. And Krishna said, "The Vrindavan is my enchanting, the delightful forest of Vrindavan is my home. All the residents of Vrindavan, including the animals, birds, trees, insects, human beings, and demigods, go back to Godhead after leaving their present bodies. Mrita Yanti Mamalayam. They come to me," it says, actually. Yanti Mamalayam means they come to my abode. They come to me. Sarva Deva Mayashchaham Na Tyajami Vanam Kwachit Avirbhavas Tiryo Tiro Bhavo Bhaved Atra Yuge Yuge Tejo Mayam Idam Brahmyam Adrishyam Charma Chakshusha. Krishna said to Narada Muni in the Brihad Gotamiya Tantra, "I am the Lord, Sarva Deva. I am the Lord of all lords, the Deva of all Devas. And I never leave Vrindavan. In every millennium, I appear and disappear at this place. This brightly shining abode of Vrindavan is beyond the reach of material eyes." So that's Vrindavan. A whole book about Vrindavan. Mathura Mapya, Rupa Goswami. Very nice things. So many things about how to treat the Brijvasis, how to see the Brijvasis, how to respect them. That's the danger. Familiarity breeds offense. The Karmis, I don't know, you're all Russians, you don't know so much of these things. But the Western, Naraka type, they have an expression that says that familiarity breeds contempt. Do you understand this meaning of contempt? If you're very close to someone, then you'll find fault. Oh, he's a guru. I serve my guru for 1 month. I don't think he's very transcendental. I know he's on the phone, he's on the computer, email. He's just chanted some little bit. I don't know. I was chanting more than him, and I'm really advanced. So So this is not a very smart idea. So we got close, then we make aparad, then we lose the taste for bhakti. We start thinking, oh, maybe I should live outside the temple. Maybe I should get my own job, or maybe I should get married. So many material things come when we make aparad. Many material things come, already they're there, but they come loud. They become very loud in our mind. Loud, making noise. Speaking very loud. Before we couldn't hear. It's only us. It's us. It's we're getting purified, but there's some residual, some small leftover ashes, not little wood, not burned. So then we make aparad, and then they start flaming, getting flame. Maybe peaceful for so long, then we make many aparads and get in some funny mind, and then it becomes snowballing effect. You know, you start out small and you push the snow down the hill, a little ball, and it gets big. See, you offend Guru or you offend Vaishnava, then it gets big and then crashes your head. Whole Chaitanya Bhagavat, the whole book is about Vaishnava Aparad. Whole book. Practically 3,000 shlokas all about Vaishnava. Always this, that, back and forth. Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava Aparad. Razor's edge. With a razor you can cut. If you're not paying attention, you can cut your face, not your hair. So sarasanga is like razor. Sarasanga. So if you have nice bhav, nice mood, nice behavior, then you go up. Krishna's happy, he blesses you. But if you become fault finding and measuring, then you that sangha, you'll get cut. That same sangha will cut you out and say, oh, I don't like this devotee, I don't like that. I'll go get my own place. I do bhakti on my own. Then Maya comes in all this way, that way. Unless you're very strong, you can't be on your own. Difficult. Not recommended. If you can, very good. It's nice kirtan. Guys are good. Sweet, huh? 7 days, they have kirtan and then Bhagavad Sapta, then from 8 until 11 they have Ras Leela. All day long programs. It's honor of Arisan, the Arisan Babaji that left his body a few years ago. His name was Krishnadas Babaji. Aryan Krishnadas Babaji. He wrote many books in Aryan language. He was a great devotee. And he's part of his disciples. Every year they honor his tirubha with this big function, big bundle, you know, big setup over there. Every day's program is in Bengali and Hindi. Bengali bhajans, then Hare Krishna, and then the pravachans in Hindi, this lecture, and the Rasleelas in Hindi also. All day. It starts in the morning, 6 o'clock, someone's reading all the shlokas of Bhagavatam. 4 hours, five hours a day. 18,000 shlokas, all Bhagavatam. It's amazing here. And then the kirtans, then the bhajans, and the pravachan, then starts at 6:30 and ends at 12 at night. All 7 days solid Harikata. I went, I saw some lectures. I sat there in Hindi. But I'm hearing all the time, and night and day. Actually, in a Radhakund gown, and this, they say this area here, Ramachandra Gera, where I live, and over here, this by the Shiv temple, this area has more saptas and more kirtans and more sound than any other part of Radhakund. Where do you stay? What part of Radhakund? Alita Kund side, behind Alita Kund, over there. Yeah, that's a little quieter out there. It's very quiet. I know that Advaita Das stays over there sometimes, and Lalita Kunj or something like that. Lalita Kunj on the other side. I've been there. It's quite quiet. But this kind of thing is almost every all the time. It's like this. It wasn't like this when I first moved here, but somehow it became transcendentalized.